Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and if you're looking for a face that's a little different, yes, our Tuesday host, Jody, she's got to take care of some personal affairs for the next 3 weeks. She'll be back. But in the meantime, we're going to introduce you to a three-part series. This show is all about healing. And the most powerful healing is the power of the spirit that can heal anything. But there are some deep wounds that we have experienced, and there are many who have succumbed to the overwhelming pain of the trauma that they have endured. So we're going to talk about that for the next 3 weeks. Because our world is in pain. And many of those who are suffering are women. And it starts from early childhood. They're beautiful, fashionably dressed, and appearing self-assured and confident, but inside, they're deeply wounded. These are today's young women, the millennials and Gen Zers who are getting involved in personal relationships and having children they didn't plan to have and getting involved with men who weren't ready to be husbands or fathers or even decent partners. They're the baby mamas with all that drama you see on Maury. They're the overly sexualized women in the music videos, comfortable with being called hoes. Well, these are women who sometimes end up on the news, and maybe they've been involved in violent criminal acts, drug use, prostitution, subjected to incarceration, attempting suicide. Well, we, the older women, we look at them and we're critical. We turn our nose up. And it never occurs to us that maybe we are the contributors to their pain. We contribute because we refuse to see the situations that made them what they are. We're refusing to see what really shaped their lives. Underneath the beautifully made-up faces and fashionable hair style are deep wounds, pain. These are women who are suffering the scars of sexual abuse, abandonment, betrayal. And often that first sexual abuse came at the hands of a trusted parent or family friend or relative or even a religious leader. Our young sisters have endured these things in silence because we don't want to hear the truth that they speak. What we're witnessing in much of the what seems to be rebellious behavior is the enacting of that pain. But there is a source that can heal all pain, if you can only find it. So today, we're going to bring you a fiery young sister who's on a mission to help the wounded young women to that source of love, that source of all love. We want you to hear and feel Jessica's testimony, because it's just so real. So I want to welcome to our show today my young sister, Jessica Ingram. Thank you so much.
Hey, good morning. Hey, how are you? Hey, everybody.
Yes, so grateful that you're here with us. And, you know, I follow the spirit. Every host that works with me on this show, you know, Spirit said, yeah, that one. So everybody who's here is on a mission.
Amen.
So when I met you, God said, yeah, put her on tomorrow. And that was it. So, okay. Because God knows what he wants you to say.
Amen.
And you're going to be the mouthpiece to heal a lot of hurt. And I think a lot of women, especially the ones who have not allowed themselves to admit the truth to themselves, will be able to hear their own story in your story. So I'm grateful that you are joining us today.
I can't hear you. Oh, my Lord.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, let me make sure we got our sound. Make sure I'm not muted.
I can't hear you.
All right. We're going to see. We're going to make sure we fix that sound issue because we want everybody to be heard and seen. And we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak because we want to hear what you have to say as well. And let's see. How's that now?
Yeah, it's good.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
That happens, you know.
Yeah, it's technical difficulties, so I'm back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said. You said you left off a certain place. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I'm sure I'll say it again. You know, as I said, there are a lot of women who will hear themselves in your story today.
Yeah.
And a lot of them that are living in shame that they shouldn't feel because they did nothing wrong. Wrong was done to them. But they've been made to feel as if they should be ashamed. And they've been made to feel as if they have no value. And
that's
what we see in a lot of young women. And you know, we have these conversations all the time. And for those who are watching, you see my shirt today. I got this wonderful shirt from a powerful organization.
Yeah.
Called POWER, which stands for Prisoners Organizing Winning Everything Right.
Yes.
And yesterday we interviewed a brother who has an expungement program, and there was so many people. I came there, you know, I figured I'd do a quick interview. I came there with all these long lines of people. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of people that have been through prison. A whole
and
lot
that's
of
broken.
People. And they're broken.
That's broken.
And we look at them and, oh, what did they do? But I look at it as what was done to them, because I know
them.
I know that's where it starts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to change this system, because what we end up doing is profiting from people who are broken.
Broken, That's what they do. That's what they want to do. They want they want people to be broken. And I, you know, when I think about it, because I'm more of like, remember I was telling you, I'm more of like a, I'm so deep into like all ethnicities, you know. Even though my race is so broken, but when I told you I went to school and I went to Columbia College, the school I just graduated from, which I will be walking across stage in May, the Lord began to speak to me and said, let me show you something. Even though these people did not come from the hood, let me show you they deal with the same thing that you have come through or that I'm still healing you from, the orphan spirit, the abandonment. Just because someone comes from middle class doesn't mean they have not endured rape, does not mean that they have not went through molestation by their own family members. You know, that's what I look at, you know, and even when I've been around some rich people that may be not even African-American, I see hurt, I see pain. So even though my community is so broken, I've experienced going in the middle-class neighborhood and going in the rich, and I'm saying, like, hold on, you may got money, but, you know, the Bible says the money answers all things, but it does not answer this. It cannot heal your soul.
It
may try to get the money to pay somebody, a therapist or whatever, but like you say, the greatest source for me is God, right? To help me feed my spirit so that my soul can become whole. You know what I mean? So, but my community, let's be honest, my community is definitely very broken, and we wear it more on our sleeve. You know, we wear it more on our sleeve, and we are the ones that be like, a lot of them, not most African Americans, because there are a lot of African Americans like, listen, I'm done. I'm not acting like I ain't hurt. You know, I'm speaking up, and I'm getting the help that I need. You know what I'm saying? So there's brokenness everywhere, but my community is definitely, I don't want to say is beyond reached, but my community is broken.
Broken. Deeply broken.
And I believe, we're broken the most, to be honest. Or we share it. We show it a lot, and we even, and I hate to say it, we inflict it on each other the most. There's other races that do it, but we hate each other.
And it's the pain. So there are a lot of people who, like you mentioned, that orphan spirit where you feel like parents weren't there, there was nobody to protect you. And I think a child should always feel protected, but so many of us grew up without that feeling that we could be protected from harm. So give us a bit of insight on what shaped you. What was your early childhood like?
So my childhood, you know, 6 years old, well, because when I wrote my book, it was as far as I could remember from 6 years old. Now, you know, hear me out. When I started writing it and I started to really go through this journal of inner healing by way of different communities and, you know, different, you know, healthy pastors, because there are a lot of healthy leaders out there. I all these different things start to come back to me, and I start to remember, like, oh, wow, you know, it happened before 6 years old. But, you know, how many of you know that when you are wounded and you're in disassociation, you can only remember certain parts of your life. And so you start to go through, and God begins to heal the prefrontal cortex and begin to go in and heal and reveal things in your subconscious, and then all these things begin to come back to you, and you start to remember things before 6 years old that happened to you at 4 years old, that happened to you at 5 years old, right? So my parents, which it was hard for me to, I guess, fully accept that, you know, I went through a lot of abuse in my house before I got took away and went to foster care. Grew up in foster care, went through a lot of different things in the foster care system, molestation. How many of you know, and I pray that you guys know, if you don't, I'm going to tell you now that molestation isn't always penetration. And molestation is, you know, it still affects the brain. If a grown man, or even if it's a teenager, right, that's putting their mouth on you, that's fondling you, right, in places that you should not be fondled, right, that's still molestation.
Yeah.
You don't have to get penetrated to go through molestation, and it still affects the brain, though a trauma can trip and turn different people to become different. You can get three people that have gone through the same type of molestation, but they each react different, and they each can also develop a different type of disorder. And one may never develop some type of psychological issue because they were ever able to somehow process it and get through that. You get what I'm saying? So and the foster system went through a lot of abuse, neglect, starvation, from what you call it, physical abuse, the psychological abuse, the sexual abuse. I endured that. And so
I have a question. Being in foster care, you know, I know there are some good foster parents who
yes.
do it really out of love, but there are those who do it for the check that they
horrible.
Get. So does anybody ever check and see, like, if a parent is beating you or something? Does any caseworker ever come back and see if there are questions you ask if you're okay, or they just, okay, well, you know, drop you off, that's it, and then you're just kind of at the mercy of whoever is housing
you? You know, so I'm going to answer that, and I'm going to say a two-part. So I have to, like, as I've been healing, I have to realize and get in my mind, the Lord has to show me, like, every foster parent isn't horrible, and every caseworker isn't horrible. Every leader that's in the foster care system isn't horrible. But I'm going to tell you this, there are way more bad than there are good.
Ooh.
There are way more people who are getting children for checks, and that's what I endured. Even when I got into, like, a somewhat a good foster home, there were still things that happened to me. There was still, you know, neglect. You know, there was still, when I say, like, I may have wasn't beat, right, but I still was neglected as far as, like, no one sat down. And when I think about it, like, no one ever sat down and helped me with my homework. No one ever sat down and, like, literally poured it to me. Like, when you think about somebody that's so angry, like, we can only pour out what we have. Like, I literally went, like, my whole childhood, like, not receiving hugs. That will make a child angry.
Wow.
Like, I wasn't nurtured. So, and, you know, it's sad that, you know, a lot of people, they just want to, like, oh, she has ADHD. She has bipolar disorder. She has this. But let me tell you something. If sin never happened and the world never falls, there will be no disorders. There will be nobody born with deformity. There will be, the world will basically be perfect if Adam and Eve, according to my viewpoint, didn't do what they did, right? So, these different disorders, they develop because I didn't get what I needed. These are called developmental disorders. And so, I didn't get the nurturing that I needed. And I didn't realize that until I started to heal when I got old. Like, I'm still young, but you
didn't know what was
when
missing
to,
until you realized once you got it. And you're like, oh, I never had this.
Exactly.
So how does a parent have a child in their home? How does a foster parent have a child in their home and not show them some kind of affection? What do they do, just, you know, give you meals and say, oh, that's where you sleep? I mean, you know.
That's what I'm speaking up against. Like, when I tell you, like, I just accept that I'm so much of a revolutionist, because it's like, they put kids in these homes. It doesn't matter who they are. Listen, do you know it could be a pedophile or somebody that's messed up that has never went to jail? Pedophiles could be police officers. Pedophiles could be doctors. Pedophiles could be lawyers, like, or people that's messed up. Like, they can be in different type of positions. A pedophile is not somebody that's just roaming the street, or a mass murderer. A mass murderer can be the doctor. That's Dr. by day and a mass murder by night, that'll be least suspected. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what they do is, like, as long as they got a, what's according to them, a house, right, in a room and stuff, they put that person in that house. And so to me, what was going on with me, like, I had caseworkers, but I had, like, most of my caseworkers, they didn't care about me. You know, they you know, some of them, they kind of try to help me, but I feel like these were the people that can only, I guess, pour out what they had. They would say, they would say different things, like, if they see me acting out, they didn't speak life into me. They spoke curses over my mind. And how many of you know that life and death is in the power of your tongue? If you're telling me, oh, you're ADHD, you're never going to be nothing, you're going to have to be in a home for the rest of your life, you're just, they spoke, I had to fight against so much warfare of the mind. No one told me, you know what, you're going to be this, and you're going to grow. Like, it was certain people
you're
that I read
to. Child,
like,
you can be whatever you want to be. No encouraging words like, oh, you're a
It was more
child.
Bad
nothing
than good. It was more bad. Nobody got me, and when they see me, just grab me, it was like, I see you. Like, I don't remember that. I don't remember someone until, like, there was, like, one person, which was my biological cousin, but she could only do so much to me, that just when she, I was roaming the streets, I was so mentally going through it, and when she pulled up on me, she just grabbed me, and I broke down. I couldn't explain, see, when you don't know how to express yourself, see, that's the black community. We all, we know the first successful emotion is anger. We weren't taught to express ourselves. So if I don't know how to express myself, I've never, no one has ever taught me to sit down and let me show you how to process your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because your thoughts lead to your emotions. Let me show you how to self-regulate yourself. Let me show you how to manage your emotions so you can be happy. No one ever taught me how to do that. And if you see, a lot of foster kids, because every foster child is not African American too. That's
right. Right. It's a whole lot of,
you know, and they still go through the same amount of abuse.
The same.
White,
the same
Indian.
Yes.
I was in foster homes with Indians. They went through the same amount of abuse. And guess what? Just because somebody comes from, people can come from India and still have abusive parents.
Right.
People can come from, be white. I was in foster homes with white kids that was, had developmental delays, that was being abused and sexually abused. So it's not really like for me, because I grew up as a foster child, it's not really just African American.
Right. It's not a race.
No, African Americans go through a lot.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know why I left off there. Just,
well, you were saying how nobody taught you how to actually express
process,
your thoughts, how to process what you were feeling, how to explain, you know. No one said, like, why are you angry? And then
because they just label it. But since it is, they know why we're angry.
Yeah.
If you know, it's so strange to me, but let me tell you what it is. It's because, let me tell you, they profit the most off foster kids being on medication.
Wow.
Think about it. What foster kid have you known that has a good story? You rarely ever hear any foster child have a good story.
Right.
You very rarely run across those foster kids. I've ran across very few that was in a great foster home, but here's the thing, they still go through some type of psychological something where they're like, who's my parents and why didn't they, why? They still struggle with that, even if they was, like, nurtured. They may not be as broken, but they still struggle with it, like, man, why my mama didn't want me? Why my daddy didn't want me? Like, I don't understand. But they may not have as much mental and emotional trauma because they were, but I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm 33 years old. And I've rarely ran across foster kids that's like that. I've probably met, like, maybe one or two, three. Like, very rarely I've ran across a foster child that has even the ones that get adopted. Like, because some foster kids, they end up adopted. And they you know what I'm saying? So they still ended up in the foster care system, and they end up being adopted. Or they directly get adopted, and that's still the orphan sphere. Most people who call to me are either foster children, people who were adopted, or people who struggle with the orphan spirit, because you can still struggle with the orphan spirit and never was taken back away from your parents and still went through the same abuse. So those are the type of people that are called to me.
People,
you know,
who somehow feel like their parents didn't want them. They still,
or their parents was in the house, but they were just like
emotionally
they were neglected. They still went through molestation. They still went through the rape. Parents, some women chose they baby daddies over them, and then the baby daddy or the husband was raping on the child. And men go through the same thing too.
Yeah,
that's the thing. See, we talk about women today, but don't forget that men have been molested, men have been raped, men have been abused. Like, man, I've children. That's men as well. My brother is one of them, my biological brother. We don't know how to have a relationship because of the abuse, because of, it is so hard.
You all didn't grow up together, like you were put in different homes and that kind of
stuff? Yep, and then he ends up with one of my real family, but he still went through the neglect, he still went through the abuse, he still went through the psychological, all that. So it's just the brokenness. So I ended up in a foster care system. There was a lot of things that happened, which is probably it would take long. I got a book coming out.
Yeah.
But
buy the book, y'all.
Yep, it's getting ready to come out. It's called I'm Not Crazy, I'm Called.
Ooh, Part I'm Not one. Crazy, I'm Called. I love that. Yes. I'm Not Crazy, I'm Called.
Because that's all people called me. Oh, when I started getting in the street lifestyle, because, see, here's the thing people don't know. Even if you grew up in the foster care system or you grew up in a whatever home, if your grandmother raised you, how many of you know if the curse is not broken, the same sins or issues that affected your parents, they're passed down. Mm-hmm. If your mama is carrying you and she broken and she got what they call bipolar disorder, which all it is depression and anger and all these different emotions that you don't know how to handle, mm-hmm. or if you have all these different developmental disorders, how many of you know when you're carrying that child and if you're still going through the trauma and you're not stable, how many of you know that that can still pass through the womb?
Yeah.
So your child won't come out with the same issues. If your father was a gangbanger and he never broke that curse so it could stop following his family, that's those same, I'll call them spirits, I'll call them demons, they're still going to come after who? Your children. Or whoever, even if it skips somebody, until somebody stand up and say, that's enough. I will suffer for a generation or generations, and this thing is not going to no longer go through my bloodline and plague it.
Yeah.
Right? If you see something popping up more than once, that means it's a curse on your blood. If can't no woman in your family, on your daddy's side, get married, that means there's a curse on the bloodline. If every other person is bipolar and everybody just want to make it normal, that means that there's a curse on your bloodline. If everybody, here's the thing, so a lot of people don't want to talk about this, because do you not know that if a pedophile was in your family and then you get a kid and they start showing these different things, that means it's a curse. Because some people are born with stuff. Some people, you'll see a little kid like, why you touch no other little kid? And that's, you know, they grow up to be a pedophile. That's a curse. Some people just be born in this world and they never really did nothing. And then they get the curses of their forefathers. The Bible talks about that. The same curses is going to be on your third and fourth and fifth generation.
I believe it says.
Exactly.
So somebody has to choose to break the cycle in the family.
Yes.
Because usually things like sexual abuse, you find it goes back generations. And every generation has, and you might have somebody in the family, they have, like the grandfather that
we're
has
still doing it,
in every, you know, that their child, their children's children, their children's children, children, and so.
And then he went through it. He went through it. Somebody
went
was
through it.
Raping him. Somebody was, see, people don't see, I'm not a surface person. I come to speak the truth. I come to be deep. I come to tell you, I had to go through a lot of healing, and God had to tell me, listen, I chose you to be born. So, like, I had to go through what I went through, like with Moses. So if you're born into this corrupted world, you're born for a mission. So I had to go through all those things. So like you say, I can have the passion to be able to minister to people, to be able to bring someone out. And so the reality is I had to understand, God had to tell me, listen, your parents, like them, they were in something full of sin. They were in a coach. They was doing things. They were wicked. They did not honor me. Right? And so they were given over to reprobate minds. They were given over to do what they wanted to do. So I had to come to understand, like, oh, God began to show me, like, listen, everything that pops up in your life, your parents went through it. The thing that's hard to break, the strong cards that you think you can't get over, let me take you back. Your mama went through molestation or rape. Your daddy went through molestation or rape. Your daddy may never talk about it. So they begin to break my heart down. Right, and start to, like, so I start to get this deep compassion, like, wow, so you're telling me my mother and my father, they were kids and somebody didn't protect them, so now you got these corrupted people, adults. My dad ended up trying to run away, go to the army, he got kicked out of there, and so he just was entrenched in the gang life, right? And so most gang people, they are pedophiles too. They are doing things too. They get corrupted with evil. So even though my parents dealt with this wickedness, God started to soften my heart, and let me tell you, the Lord began to say, listen, let me show you how your mother was a child crying out. Let me show you how your father was a child being violated.
Wow.
and no one came to his rescue. So now you got a grown man that's battling with this spirit that he ain't never probably going to tell. But let me show you how, what happened to him when he was a kid. Let me show you, though he may never tell your story, let me show you how he ended up in the game, like trying to get away, because people don't just end up in games. Most of people, the statistics are this. People don't just join games for no reason. They're looking for a father. Yeah. They're looking for a family. So if he had both of his parents, I'm like, why all of them messed up like that, though? They ain't never going to tell.
Yeah,
parents, the older generation.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can have both parents. But they don't mean both parents are in their right mind or in the right spirit. They can have two abusive parents. So.
Well, God showed me, shocked me. And so God began to show me, too, that my mother, her own mother neglected her. Her own mother didn't, like, basically hated her guts. And
oh,
God
wow.
showed me some other things when it comes to people dabbing into witchcraft and the cults and serving other gods, you know, demonic stuff. And do you not know if somebody don't break that and answer the call to God, guess what's going to happen? Those same curses is going to fly through the generations.
Wow.
And it's going to affect somebody else. But guess what affects them in? The mind. You see them? The mind. Some people got curses on their minds because of what the family has done. So though I was in the foster care system, all that stuff still affects me. It came after me because guess what? I don't come from the bloodline of the people whose house I was in. That's not my bloodline. Do you know somebody still can get took away from their family and be adopted and still be affected by the generational curses of their real family?
Yes.
Even if somebody else raised them. They don't come from that bloodline. They come from a different bloodline. So all these different things still affect me. So I ended up in a street lifestyle, and I just could not understand for the life of me, why am I desiring this lifestyle?
Mm.
Oh, that's because my parents were in the street, but also my father was a gangbanger, one of the most.
Wow. Well, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the effects of the street life and what that leads to. So we'll be right back. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 so that lights your number up on our switchboard and we know you have something to say. We are talking to Jessica Ingram today, and she is just so real. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. About healing. Well, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about spiritual healing from emotional trauma. So many of us are living with emotional trauma, and many times we're too ashamed to talk about it, or we've been made to feel like whatever we're going through is our fault, or we've been labeled early in life as bad or dirty or wrong or got a mental problem. And we tend to ingest these labels and insults and believe them about ourselves. And so we end up acting it out. And until we heal from the pain, we're going to continue to inflict pain on ourselves and others. But there is a source of healing. If we can find it, we can be transformed. So today we're talking to a transformer, our sister, Jessica Ingram, who is just so real. And you got to get her book, I'm Not Crazy, I'm Called. It'll be coming out soon. She's got a story that can help bring you to the light, to the source, to the healing of your soul. So, Jessica, you're telling us really a fascinating story, but one that I know a lot of people have lived through. And some have not quite overcome, and that's that street life. You know, when you don't have a family, when you don't have encouragement, when you don't have support, sometimes you find it in the streets. And you know, when I used to teach high school, I had students that were in the gangs, and a lot of them, they were going through some painful situations at home. Someone been kicked out, you know, like you mentioned, the mother chooses the boyfriend over the child and over the son. Well, he don't like you. You got to get out. You know, well, what are you supposed to do? Who's supposed to feed you? How are you supposed to survive? So your gang becomes your family. And I understand that. But then that street life, especially when women get in it, a lot of sexual abuse involved in that. So what did you discover as you turned to the streets looking for what was not there in the home life?
Man, you said what I discovered, a lot of course, yeah, heartache and pain. So when you're suffering mentally and you have all these developmental delays and, you know, and you don't understand at that time why you're doing what you're doing, because remember, when you're 18, 19, and 20 and 21 years old, you're not fully developed. Listen, I didn't start maturing a little bit until I hit like 25, and that took me to have to go to prison, right? And then I still wasn't fully matured. I still had to go through more, right? So I'm kind of like, you really want to know, when I hit like 30, that's when I start to really even more mature. Mm-hmm. And like I say, each race, some people do go through different houses where they can, or homes or situation where they can develop and mature at a young age. I've met a 13-year-old that's like, where did you come from? Like, you're so wise beyond your years. So it's what's being poured into that child and what they're seeing. And it's also the bloodline that they come from. You get what I'm saying? So that does affect the person, where they will have more things that they have to get over.
Yeah.
And so when I got in the streets, you know, of course I'm street smart now and I'm book smart, right? But I'm street smart now, but I was very gullible, very naive, easy to manipulate, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when you're naive and you're gullible and you have all these developmental issues that you have, you really don't know that that's what it truly is, it's easy to get manipulated. It's easy to go through rape. It's easy to be, you know, people don't know this, that a person can be use mind control to get in your pants, and which you don't want to do that, but if you're naive and you're gullible and you struggle with this fearful spirit, it's easy to do something to you. Some people don't have to take it by force. Some people just manipulate your mind and will get you and will get them and a whole bunch of other men to run a train on you or something like that. And you don't even, because you're going through mental problems, you don't need to understand clearly what this fully is. It's a lot of women that's out there going through that.
You don't really know. That's what it is. And especially if
you think it's okay.
Yeah, if you don't have a woman in your life that defines womanhood for you.
Or a man. You know, that's why our identities come from our fathers.
Yes.
The woman nurtures, but our identity comes from our father. Our identity is the first representative. So I went after my father. That's basically who I was attracted to my own daddy. Gangbangers. My daddy was a gangbanger,
yeah.
Right? And so,
even though they're
broken too, though. The gangbangers, they're broken. They come from broken homes. They're only doing. So we all broken. You got the girl that's broken, the man, the boy, the male that's broken.
Mm.
The gangbangers, right? So all of us are all struggling with this orphan spirit, and we're all being drawn to each other out here in these streets.
Mm.
So, of course, now I don't hold it against them because all gangbangers wasn't like that. Some gangbangers were like, man, don't do that, man. What y'all on? Why y'all doing stuff like that? So all of them ain't as cruel as that. And what do I mean when I say they may be out there shooting at men and stuff like that? But some of them, they still follow the code like, man, leave these kids alone. No, don't touch little kids. Don't mess with women. Man, respect this grandma, even though they still end up in the gang life.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more that be about that whole full lifestyle. Then there's some that follow the codes of the streets like, man, look, don't mess with these little kids, man. You know, leave the women alone, man. My sister, I'd kill you. You mess around. Y'all trying to run a train on this girl. Like, you get what I'm saying? Y'all know she done been through trauma. She done already been through. There are some men who get in the streets or young boys that are like that, right?
Yeah,
and, you know, that much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there are more that aren't like that are because they come adapted. And what is the word I'm looking for? We become a product of our environment. We look up to the G's, the older men that are corrupted as well, that are giving the guns to the young and saying, go handle this for me. And a lot of girls get into that too, and I thank God. I thank God that the Lord came after me because I've told you that I was getting ready to throw my life away before the Lord came because I was getting so corrupted and I was so tired of what people were doing to me. And one of the main boys I was talking to that I called my main, I was in love with him, but, you know, we'd be messing around with different people. And I was telling him, man, go give me a gun. I was getting ready to pay for it. And I was getting ready to get out there real deep in the streets, and I was getting ready to be fully about that life, meaning I just was tired. And I said, okay, y'all want to get on this with me? I'm getting ready to start killing people.
Mm.
And I was just getting ready to be entrenched in that lifestyle, and God came and got me, and I went to prison.
Mm. Yeah, prison sometimes is God's grace, and we don't know it, but we're being saved from some destruction we could have really done that's irreversible. Because, you know,
yep.
once you take somebody out, you take a life, you know, you can't bring it back. So,
nope.
Yeah, that, but a lot of people, they get to that point of anger. And, or, like you say, you know, that's that life, you know, if you're in the...
You do it to adapt, or you do it from anger.
Yeah. Yeah, do it for your own survival, your own protection.
Either be killed or kill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it ends up being, and...
To protect yourself. Some people get out there, too, because nobody protects them at home.
Yeah.
Nobody protects them when they go outside. So they start to adapt, and they get out there in the lifestyle, and they start toting guns. See, a lot of people... When I hear people get to talk, I'll be like, I think you should just sit this one out because you have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
Just close your mouth if you ain't going to really understand. Get
right.
insight so you can understand. Because a lot of people are products of their environment. And we can keep screaming like, oh, you can't keep using your trauma. Well, what else is it then?
Right.
When a baby is born, what happens?
Right.
Who raises them?
Yes.
What happens?
Yes, absolutely. So now, I one thing that has maybe really deeply distressed me when I see a lot of young women who I know are broken and they're having children. And, you know, I see them and they're already traumatizing the child. Child's 2 years old, they're screaming at them, slapping them and all that. And, you know, I try to intervene when I can, but I also know they don't know because this is how they were treated. And they got a lot of anger in them. And sometimes the anger is at the
father. They think that's normal. You think that's
normal. They think it's normal.
Yeah.
So when you realized, you know, having that time away, doing time, and you had a chance to reflect, was that a time then when God spoke to you, or did you have to get out and still go through some other things before you finally, you know, heard the voice and saw the light, you know?
Yeah.
What was that?
So God had actually already started, and this is what I talk about in my book, the Lord started to deal with me actually before I went to prison. It's strange. I was going through all these supernatural encounters. Actually, it was a prophet that told me I was going to go to through something that was going to make me want to change my life. I was walking down the street. I thought, I'm like, this is a strange individual. How do you know me? Like, first of all, I don't even know you. Who told you that about me? So I was going through all these spiritual encounters actually before I ended up in prison. When I was in the psych ward, I was going through it. I'm like, who is this person, this lady? She, like, following me. Who is she? You know what I'm saying? A lot of prophets are actually in the psych ward. A lot of prophetic people are in the psych ward. People who have spiritual gifts and calls from God, but they've gone through a lot of trauma. So I'm like, who is this lady that's following me? And so Jesus, so I started to go through it before I went to prison. And then when I got in prison, of course, I picked up the Bible, was going through a couple things, but I did still get out of prison and I still was doing things, but that those different things start to lead me to the Lord. You get what I'm saying? I started to go through these, like I say, different supernatural encounters because the reality was I didn't know that this word existed until I started to really, the Lord began to educate me. I started to, went and got my associate's degree, went to Columbia College, and even between those two degrees, I studied a lot. I read a lot. I just was, like, hungry. So I was, it was like I was getting a double major, you know what I'm saying, to really, for my mind to grow. So I didn't know what the word atheist was. You know, I wasn't the type of, so I basically was the atheist skeptic. So because of what I went through in the foster care system, because my one foster
mom,
exactly, but I never was the type of person, I never cursed God, I never said, oh, F Jesus, but I just, inwardly, I had all these things inwardly, and I never told nobody a lot of these different things because, you know, when you don't, like I said, you don't know how to express yourself, and then you ain't going to express yourself because nobody listens to you anyways. So I never talked about, because they said I was crazy. They was putting me in and out of mental institutions. So you think I was going to really tell somebody, like, yeah, man, I had this account. This lady walked up to me and told me my whole story, my whole life, and she told me stuff that was to come. What do that mean? Or you know what? I see a demon in somebody's eyes. What does that mean? So I never expressed that because you are already labeled crazy. You are already labeled mentally ill. So you think I was... So, obviously, subconsciously, I knew not to tell nobody that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. So I never said, like, F God or F Jesus. You know, I just was like, man, God can't be real because how is it that these people in these churches are wicked and doing this stuff? How is it that my foster mother, my one foster mother, you are a pastor, but, like, y'all are pedophiles. Oh, y'all doing stuff, y'all starving us. So what I had to come to the realization now, and I don't want to move ahead of time, but skip right quick, I now understand that everybody, so we all need Jesus, and God, people can be called, but they still choose to do the wrong thing. And that doesn't mean that you know, God is not going to get these people if they do not repent. God gives everybody a chance to repent. God will put people in positions, and if they don't do right, that doesn't mean that they're not going to pay for what they have done if they do not repent and turn, because repent means to turn from your ways. The Bible, if you realize, Paul wrote those letters to who? Church. When Jesus came, who did Jesus come up against? Why did Jesus have to come?
Church leaders. Yeah,
because
they
were. Right, because they wasn't. They wouldn't even let people in the synagogue. They thought they were so, they wouldn't even, the people were sick. The people needed a savior. The people needed help. So it's the religious, traditional people that still, that Pharisee, I say it all the time, that Pharisee spirit is still alive in people. They have no power. They have no power to help you heal. They don't care about you. They just want the money. The Pharisees, they setting up the different tables that Jesus went and flipped over, still in the house, right? So So that's the spirit that God has called me to come up against. Not the person, but the spirit that operates behind the person, that these are the ones that are being pedophiles. These are the ones that are sitting up there preaching, but they drive all outdoors. They ain't got no power to lay hands on the sick and see and recover. They ain't got no power to really speak life into somebody. Mm-hmm. So fast forwarding back to being in the streets, I was going through these different supernatural encounters that I talk about in my book that led me to be like, man, God is real. But I still was to have to go through my journey.
Yeah.
And so you can't stop somebody's process. You can't come and release a – I have to learn this. You got to be careful to not release prophetic words before hand time, before they're supposed to be released. You got to use wisdom.
Yeah.
So my story, my process, I had to go through my process. And so when I got out of prison, I went through some more things. And, man, fast forward, I was walking down the street, and I literally had, like, I paroled to somebody that was in prison to their house, and they was doing all types of stuff to me, too. Fast forward, I ended up getting kicked out of there. Well, I left because there was stuff going on. You know, people always got me to abuse me, to take my money, to take advantage of me, you know. And so I just was, to make a long story short, walking down the street. This was the beginning. And I just ran. I just ran. And I didn't care who was watching me. There were cars going, and I lifted up my hands, and I said, and I just started surrendering. And it was like, I didn't know it was that at the time the Spirit of God hit me, and I started, like, you know, when you cry, but it's like streams, like rivers, and I couldn't stop it. That was the Spirit of God. And I started surrendering, walking down the street, and I said, Lord, I'll do what you called me to do, because I knew, why am I going through all this stuff? Like, I have nowhere to go. I had nowhere to turn. So I lifted up my hands, and I started surrendering, walking down the street, and I said, Lord, the first thing I said was, Lord, I surrender. How did I know to say that? My spirit knew to say that, right? I said, I surrender, and I would do what you call me to do, whatever it is, because obviously it got to be a call on my life. I'm going through all this hell. And so I just was weeping. I was surrendering. I didn't care who was watching, you know, the cars, you know, it's a busy street. People probably looking at me like, what's wrong? I'm surrendering. Pivot the stress. Like, I need help. Like, you know. And so I was surrendering, and a lady, I don't know if she was an angel or what, and she was probably disguised as a drug addict, but she was, I don't know.
Wow.
She came out of nowhere, and she just grabbed me, and I was surrendering, and she just started kissing on me. Now, you know I ain't just going to let anybody walk up to me kissing me. I'm like,
wow.
First of all, my man, I'm like, who is this lady? But I can't help it. She don't stink or nothing, so I just let her console me, and I just was surrendering. She said, oh, she kissing me. Baby, it's okay, baby. It's okay, baby. You know, it's okay. And I'm just surrendering.
Wow.
And I said, Lord, I would do what you called me to do. And that was the beginning, even though it started before that, of even God had gangbangers. I had a gangbanger. I'm looking for him right now. His name's Tino. He walked up to me. And when I think about those, it was two main people that led me to the Lord. But let's be honest, when God brought us back to my room, there were still things that led me.
Yeah.
Before those two people begin to lead me. So he walked up to me, and I was in Motown, out on the block, around all the gangbangers, the wild girl, black, what, the rich girl, but basically the trenches, the people that were in the trenches, the drug dealers, the drug addicts, everybody. That's who my people were.
Mm.
And I'm standing up, and he walked up like, I don't know why I'm saying this. I don't understand it, but you're not supposed to be out here. Like, he said, I don't know why I'm saying this. I don't know why I'm feeling it to say this, but you actually not supposed to be out here. You supposed to be doing something different with your life. And, yeah, you don't belong around those girls you hanging around. You totally different from that. I'm looking at him.
Wow.
And I didn't know it was I didn't have the words to articulate. Now I know that was the Spirit of God speaking to him. See, God can use a donkey if he wants to.
Yeah.
They cold, but they just ain't walking in who they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So he didn't know that was God speaking to him. He didn't understand why he was saying the things he was saying. And he just like, man, you're not supposed to be around us. You're not supposed to be out here. And you're supposed to be doing something different with your life. And you ain't supposed to be around them girls you're around because you ain't nothing like them. I'm looking at him like,
wow.
I knew it was the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And he was just like, yeah, you need to go do something different with your life. And walked off. I'm like, what? Literally, and I don't know if he's still in the street life or if he's still out there gang banging, but I knew it was God. You know, and here's the thing. People are called. See, I was who I was before I came out of the street.
Yeah.
You know, you have the apostles that's in the streets. You have the prophets that's out there in the streets. You have the people who have the gift of prophecy that's out there in the streets. You have the evangelists. They're still stuck out there. there in the streets. You have the teachers, the pastors, they're still out there in the streets. Mm. They're called. But they are, and some of them never make it to answer the call because, you know.
Wow. So why is that? Is it because they're so broken? Is it because they don't know anything else? Is it because they don't believe in themselves? They're too afraid to answer the call? They don't know what they're going to do if they stop doing what they're doing?
So there can be many things, but one of them is, I can be honest with you, it is some of the current religious system. See, I don't call myself religious. I'm a kingdom citizen, though. I go to church. I love the Lord. I'm not the Pharisees.
Mm.
I'm not the Pharisees. I always put them at the Pharisee religion. I'm not them, the ones who hated Jesus without a cause. I'm not them. I'm literally a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
I am a kingdom citizen. I am a kingdom of heaven. I'm a kingdom citizen of heaven. You know, so I am a Christian. I do say I'm a Christian, but I'm not like religious. Religion is religion and rituals. I'm not that. Like, you know, I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm one of his disciples. So it's because of that. But also, let's be honest. There's a choice. See, God don't force himself on nobody. So some people choose to not answer the call. See, I was a pimp. Like, I say this all the time. Not literally a pimp, but y'all be using that as a cause, like in the movie. Pimp is distressed. Pimp is distressed. I was literally walking down the street, and I knew. I said, listen. All this hell I'm going through, it got to be for some reason. I'm the generational curse breaker. So I was like, I couldn't run away from it. So some people, they keep running from their calling. God is constantly, the Bible says that he does not want anyone to perish. So he's sending people, he's sending his disciples, he's sending his messengers. But people are not answering. Their heart is hardened. So I believe that also, there are some religious people who come at them like, oh, yeah, they don't see. The Bible does talk about those who had a shed and lake of fire, but I don't come that way. If God literally tells you, listen, go warn that person and tell them, listen, God always tells somebody to repent before something terrible happens.
Yeah.
Warning comes for destruction. So he ain't just going to come at you and say, yeah, you're going to hell. You ain't never going to make it. He ain't going to say that. The Lord is going to come and say, listen, I've gave you time after time.
Mm.
I'm trying to save you. Choose you today whom you're going to serve. You are out here in the streets. I understand what you've gone through, but you are killing people.
Mm.
Today you must make a decision. And God will tell you, if you do not change by here next year, you are going to be taken up out of here.
Mm.
Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. God ain't just going to come at you and say, yeah, you're going to hell. God always is giving people a chance to repent and turn from their ways, to stop doing what they're doing, right?
You get warnings, you get signed and signed.
It's just like, okay, I'm going to give you over to what? A reprobate, and now the devil is going to take you out.
Mm.
So a lot of people are choosing, and some people need people that look like us.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking, it doesn't have to be skin that have gone, because you have Mexicans and Puerto Ricans who have gone through the same. You have white people. I've seen white gang members, right? In India is gang. All around the world is the same thing. People don't work. It's worse than in other countries because they chop your head up. They got machetes. They gangs over there is worse.
Oh, yeah.
I seen a girl get her head cut off by a whole gang.
Oh, wow.
So what I'm saying is people think that the same. It's actually worse in different countries, the gangs. It ain't nothing like the gangs in Chicago. It's worse.
Wow. You can just
they will break
the
crap out of you, and they will cut your head off while you still alive, and with a machete. So it's the gangs over there is the property. Also, is not like the property here in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean,
why do you think
different corners really
trying to come over here?
Yeah. When people talk about starving, I mean, like, I miss the meal.
Worse.
It's like, you know, yes, dying.
So I've met all type of gangs. It's all different type of gangs. People that's in India that can end up in gangs. People that's in the Middle East and people that's in Mexico, they gangs. The cartel ain't nothing like the gangs over here. So people gotta change their mindset and realize the same thing is going over all around the world. And the property in the different countries, they not like Chicago. Our property is actually better than the property in the different countries.
Yeah.
It's way better. We're actually privileged in the property over here. So there are many factors, but the number one factor is people can choose. People choose to not answer the call. People choose to not. I could have chose to be like, God kept coming after me. I could have, that day, I could have been like, I surrender.
Mm.
So my spirit knew to say that, like, I surrender.
Yeah.
I surrender. I'm tired, Lord.
enough pain.
I know what you called me to do.
Yes, yes.
So, and then the other factors is, it's time that we get out here and cry loud and spare not, that they see what people, like I told you, I was standing there in that line, the explosion line, mm-hmm. and everybody just kept turning around staring at me.
Yeah, like, what's she doing here?
Right.
Yeah.
But I come from where you come from. I'm just cleaned up.
Yeah.
I went to school. I went to college. God dealt with me. The Lord began to deal with me. And now I'm just, it's this fire that I'm on fire. God is getting ready to do some more things to me, but I'm ready to go forth. And I'm going to cry loud and spare not and let them know and worship God in spirit and in truth and let them know, like, listen, I come from where you come from. But here's the thing. They're going to be able to tell I come from where they come from because of the passion, because you cannot have passion unless you went through that.
Yeah.
You cannot, the fire cannot be on you unless you actually made it about it. So they know, like, you look different, but you also kind of look like
yes.
you speak our language.
Yes.
And those are the ones that they're looking for
That's
to come
right.
and get them.
That's what they need, because they know you really understand. A lot of these people don't understand. They condemn because they don't understand it because they haven't lived through it.
And that's the part about that. I'm telling you, I'm in such a place, as no offense to nobody, I'm becoming unhindered.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that I see, if I see an older person constantly talk about you, I'm sorry, I got to delete you off my page.
Ooh.
If I see you constantly, like if you in a church and you come, see, here's this where I am. God wants to save all people. It don't matter what sin it is. I done been through so much stuff, and I done had to forgive all people that did all type of stuff to me. So I understand the narcissist. I understand all type of stuff. So am I going to speak out against the spirit? But I'm not never going to say God wants to save the narcissist. Nobody is too far away from God to save. God wants to save the gangbanger. Listen, you may not like this, but God wants to save the pedophile too.
Yeah.
But people don't want to hear that. God don't, the Bible says he doesn't want anyone to perish.
Right.
So I'm not coming with it doesn't matter if you're a pedophile. It doesn't matter if you're a murderer. Listen, God says that he wants to save all, because who are you? You just as wicked. You just was as just as wicked as anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's done something.
The Bible says that all have. He didn't say they are sinning. He said they have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So I may have not touched on a little kid. I may have not got a chance to kill nobody, but I almost was there. So the thought
hey,
not with me.
Thought about it, yeah.
It was a thought, and
yeah.
then God stopped that. So I'm still just as guilty, though.
Mm.
My thing is, I come to speak the truth. God wants to save the narcissist, because I'm going to be honest, I was somewhat of a narcissist in such a way. Because there's different, people don't know that there's different level of narcissism. I still had a controlling spirit from what people did to me, for me to try to control the situation. I ran away. People, that's a narcissist. You can't keep nobody. Like, people don't understand. When you go through so much trauma, I studied the brain, and I'm going to pass it over to you. The prefrontal cortex, when it's so damaged from trauma, it causes you to become non-empathetic. So I almost was there. People don't, if you study the brain and you understand what trauma does to the brain, this is what makes mass murderers, this is what makes pedophiles, this is what makes people the way that they are. And a lot of people say, well, we can't keep using excuses, then what you going to use then?
Yeah.
Explain to me why people the way they is then.
Right. I mean, there are reasons things happen. They don't just
let
happen
me
out
know.
Of nowhere. Yeah.
What's your answer then? Let me know.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to figure out. Because you're the problem. You're not the solution. You don't have the solution if you're going to keep saying, well, we got to stop using some of this. Tell me, what is it then?
Right. Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. We've got to take another break.
Yeah.
And we got a comment from our Friday host, Viana. She says, Grand Rising, sisters. Yes, Grand Rising. Glad to hear your guests be so transparent. Many
yes.
people need to hear this truth. Thank us. Yes, us stands for Universal Spirit.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Viata. Well, we'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That lights your number up on our switchboard so we know you have something to say. We'll open your mic and give you the floor. We'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us. Alrighty.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Part one, we have a fantastic guest with us, somebody you should know, whose upcoming book you need to get, I'm Not Crazy, I'm Called, and that is Jessica Ingram, and she is just so real, so you got to hear her story. So there's a lot of people who are critical of young women that they see overly sexualized in videos, or they see them even going to church and they got the what looks like the nightclub clothes on, and they say, oh, these young girls are tempting these preachers and all this. So women tend to get blamed because of their sexuality. But what is it that actually happens to a woman that makes her feel like, well, you know, my body is a tool, I'm just going to use it because it doesn't matter? Is it the early, you know, misuse that makes you feel like, well, you know, this body doesn't mean anything, so, you know, I might as well use it for what I can get out of it? I mean, what is the mindset that creates the behavior that ends up looking like, I don't care if I'm just a piece of meat?
Mm-hmm. And there can be many factors. Well, you know, all females having gone through molestation or rape, I've met some that are over, that dress, you know, reveal their body, and they were never touched on. They were never molested. They were never raped. But that factor can also be just, you know, the television, right, the songs, because they program people, right, seeing the representations inside of the TV, or it can be the people that, the older people that are around us. You know, they like to talk about the youth, but everybody was once a youth one day too, right?
Yeah.
And so we look up to the women that surround us, the older women, that some of them are still sexualizing their body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some girls may have a mother that was maybe touched on, maybe was molested, or maybe was programmed in that same way, and she looks up to her mother, she becomes that way, right? So modesty is something that's taught, right? God, my father, had to teach me how to be modest, right? I'm still learning how to be modest, how to carry myself, because modesty, it actually starts as a mental and emotional behavior, right? How to carry yourself, how to act, how to dress, right? How to be a lady, right? Some people aren't taught how to be a lady. Like, I promise you, I'll be up here like, Lord, well, you know, I still got a little ghetto in me. And I've been trying to, and the Lord just like, be who I'm calling, checking you to be. Because the reality is you're from the streets, you're from the hood, and yes, you have gone through a lot of refinement, and you're going to continue to go through a lot of refinement, but there are certain parts of you I'm never going to take away. Because here's the thing, the kids that's in the streets, it's only a certain type of person that can reach them. And though when I was in line, people can tell that I was different, I still have certain different parts of me. Like, and what do I mean when I say that? The hood still a little bit can come out of me.
Yeah, but that's,
and it
that
may not be super ghetto.
Yeah.
But it may not be super ghetto, but I still know how to use the language, because
yeah,
that's where I come from, to reach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the Lord was just, the Lord had some, like my father, and then there were other, you know, Christian women who taught me, you know, when I first got there, I had this one woman that I like, listen, a lady doesn't do that.
Mm.
You know, put on some clothes, you know. But she wasn't religious, like with the Pharisee religious, judge me. Okay, so how can I say judge? Because there is such thing as called righteous judgment. Like, oh, well, you look at you nasty, you need to put on some clothes, and you just know that. No, it wasn't like that. It was, listen, you know, as a child of God, as a Christian. And then she also modeled that behavior for me. She was modest. She looked beautiful. Her hair was natural. I looked up to her. She wore her suits, and she was professional. And I'm like, that was an example for me. And I'm like, I want to be like that in my own way. I want to wear the suit. I want to put on, man, she looks so beautiful because I've seen the light of God.
Yeah.
She, like, and then I had one of my mentors, I don't know if I skipped something else, but that's the way the Lord sent me. But I seen one of my mentors, my former mentors, which was a male, he started teaching me, like, you know, from a man's perspective, how men look at women and how as a woman of God I should be. And though the Lord did all of the refinement, they were just pouring into me, telling me, I remember he told me, and it never left me. He said, listen, you know, you want people to see your crown. Lead with your crown and not your body.
Wow.
I was like, say that one more time.
Wow.
He said, a woman should lead with her crown and not her body. Do you want to walk in a room and people see your body, or do you want people to see your crown?
Mm-hmm.
Your crown, your mind,
yeah,
your crown.
Yeah.
So these type of people were pointing to me, and I started to deal with my heart, and the Lord began to refine me and show me, like, listen, daughter, you have to be modest. I don't want you, but even though when I got saved, it was just certain things that just I was delivered from automatically, and I just was like, my mind started to change automatically, and it was like, I didn't want to wear booty shorts, right? I didn't want to wear the tube tops, like, I'm a child of God, you know what I mean? So it was just stuff that automatically just started to just come off me. And then there were some strongholds that the Lord had to literally go in my mind, in my subconscious, and constantly refine, constantly deal with those things that were programmed deeply into me. So there were some things I was automatically delivered from, and then there were things I've had to actually walk through the process through. I wasn't a Saul to Paul, right? So it can be the molestation, the rape. It can be the music. It can be the TV. It can be also, but the number one thing, it is the examples. See, a lot of older people forget that they were younger, and you guys were our examples.
Mm.
Who raised us? I didn't birth myself.
Yeah.
Who was my parents? Who, when I was in the foster care system? Because it wasn't just in the foster care system that was my examples. It was also when I stepped out into the community. It was, I'm looking at the women. Where are the women? You guys are my example. So I hear a lot when I get on the bus and I get on a train and I go around, oh, these young people, well, look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you. You messed up.
Yep.
Like we were kids. So we all were babies. So who's my example?
Mm.
So when I got saved, it was those examples. Because like I say, everybody who claims to follow Christ, they really do follow Christ. And there are some people, because the Bible talks about how in the end of the time that the angels who are the harvesters are going to separate the wheat from the tares. So you have the tares who are among us who act like they say, but they ain't saved. Pay attention to the transformation, right? So there were the wheat, the people who are the true, that actually have walked these things out, that have gone through the transformation, that are, oh my God, that are godly examples who walk by way of the Holy Spirit, and who also show the lessons, because I don't like to call it mistakes like that, who show me their lessons that they have to learn and the tests that they have to pass. So those are just a few things that make people over-sexualized. Look at Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B. They're younger than me. I'm 33 years old, but I look like I'm 19, right?
Mm.
Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion are in their 20s.
Yeah, and they're
it's an example
for
the society is over-sexualized, the TV,
yeah,
the music.
Yeah.
They put all this stuff in the music. And that's what programmed me.
Right.
My favorite rappers was Lil Durk and Chief Keef.
Mm.
I was good for real.
Mm.
I was gang gang.
Oh, man.
Trick baby. You feel me? Look, this is something they want to hear. I was trick baby. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Gang gang, Lil Durk and Chief. But I want to see them say, no, I don't listen to their music, but I still have a heart for them. I will minister to my if I see Lil Durk, I will minister to my head bro long to him. Because I know his soul is broken. I know he's only a product of his environment. And I'm gonna tell him, like, you know, what you do is wrong, but I love you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to co-sign the mess, because you cannot be a neighborhood hero. You are the neighborhood issue.
Mm.
I'm gonna tell him that, I'm gonna run into them soon, because I'm gonna get out here in the political streets. You already know we're gonna get out here.
Yeah.
And
when
I run into them, I'm like, look, I love you. You used to be one of my favorite rappers, but you are not a neighborhood hero until you clean up what you have done. Your music is what's polluting us, because you are my favorite rapper. Chief Keef is my favorite rapper. Y'all sit up here. And y'all are adding to these wars that's going on, all these young people that's getting killed. You ain't a neighborhood hero until you get cleaned up and saved, and then you can come out there and show something different. So I need you to stop being a hypocrite.
Ooh, yeah. And it's got to come from somebody that
they made it out
to. Yes, yes.
Because they're receiving, like, first of all, who is this girl walking up on me like that? First of all, you got to be bold.
Yes.
But he going to know it's all love.
Yeah. That's what has to happen.
Yeah.
We got a couple of callers on the switchboard and got a few comments on our Facebook page here. And Viata asked, what does your guest believe is the best way to be healed and find peace after sexual abuse?
So you already know what I'm
going
to say.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this. I used to hate therapy. And I'm not in a lot of therapy. I did go to some trauma workshops. And for me, I studied a lot of psychology on my own. I read books of psychology. The Holy Ghost leads me and tells me what to read. I study psychology. I actually study psychology as if I got the degree. I believe that the Lord does want my last 2 degrees to be in psychology. I love studying psychology. I make sure the psychology I read, it lines up with the Word of God, right? Because everything in psychology ain't from God, right? So I started to study a lot of psychology so I could understand myself, and that's what started to help me heal. But the number one thing was God. So I don't know if a lot of people on here that are believers, they believe in the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And so by me being filled with the Holy Spirit, I study the Word of God, because what it is, it's basically your brain is like elastic, and it can literally stretch to different, it can change. So it's what you're reading, that's what you're feeding your spirit is what's healing your soul. So I study a lot of different books. You have a book called, I haven't really finished reading it, called The Body Keeps the Score, another book called Daily Emotions. So when you start to study, because you can go you can go to the therapist, and I'm not telling people not to go, because if that's the best way for you, but for me, it's like I'm steady coming here, and it's like it's not getting away. You're not even telling me how to release this stuff from my body.
Yeah.
I'm coming here, and I'm talking to you, and you're triggering me, and I'm walking away more triggered than when I came, and you ain't telling me how to release
the trauma outside
of my body.
Yes.
So my biggest help was God. was the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit led me to people that were like me, and I started to just get in the trauma workshops and study it myself, take the workshops myself and learn about how to process through trauma. And then the Lord began to give me this formula where it was, the Lord said, don't suppress, but express. Don't suppress it, express it, allow yourself to feel it. So when you start to get triggered, because I trigger myself on purpose, I know how to trigger myself on purpose when I'm here by myself, and when that thing starts coming up, I start to release it from my body. I start to weep it, because you got to grieve it in order to for it to come out your body. So I start to grieve it through tears and weeping. It's as if you're going back, and you have to, because you never processed the trauma. So you have to process, and you have to literally experience those emotions as if
it happened again.
So I'm releasing it. I'm allowing, I'm grieving it. I'm releasing it from my body. And so this process, I may sit there for a whole 30 minutes, 40 minutes, just, and God just healing my soul. And it's coming out of my soul. It's coming out.
Yeah.
So, and then that's when your emotions start to feel different, that's when you know you're healed, because you don't want to see that person go to prison. You don't want to see that person go to hell.
Right?
Now, I feel different about my foster mother now. I don't want her to go to hell. I want her to get saved, because God showed me if she go to hell, it's over with for her. So I don't have those emotions anymore about my one foster mother like that. There's still things I'm still processing through.
Yeah.
So,
but when the spirit of vengeance is gone, that's when you know you're healed.
Yes. Yeah. And there's still things that I do have to process through, because I've gone through... it's called complex trauma. So I did suffer from complex PTSD. They said that I was bipolar.
Oh.
They said that I had ADHD. They said I had a lot of different things. So all of those are developmental disorders. And then PTSD come from, you didn't been down through all this stuff, and you didn't been through all this messed up. You think you ain't gonna have complex PTSD, post-trauma stress disorder?
Yeah.
People who go to the war ain't the only ones, because we out here in the war for real.
That's right.
Life is a war if you've been through a lot of trauma. That's what. So PTSD, and that's what basically the body keeps the score talks about. So for me, that's one way, just studying the psychology and reading the books on trauma. There are a lot of books that you can read and meditate on. Also studying emotional intelligence, because your emotions come from your thoughts. So it's also all about getting to a place where your thoughts can be reframed. Your thoughts have to begin to become reframed in order for you to heal. So, and also, it gets to a place, too, where you just got to fully surrender to God, because that's what God got. And God said you can study all this stuff. Only I can. I said, God said you can study so much of this stuff, but I want to finish doing the work. I want to be a therapist. I've allowed certain people to impact you, but God said I don't want them to get the glory. So you got to surrender to me. Remember you was telling me yesterday, you got to give it to God. There comes a time when you just make up your mind and you just surrender, like, Lord, you're welcome to have church in my soul.
Yes.
You're welcome, Holy Ghost, because, see, our thoughts, our beliefs, us not wanting to let go is what stops the Holy Spirit from moving on inside of us. So God said, listen, you can study so much. I'm out to help you. But God said, I'm not going to allow it to make you whole, because I want to get the glory. I don't want no therapist to say, I help somebody become whole.
Yeah.
That'll take away my glory.
So
the reason why I have certain things left in me, because God said, I'm not going to allow, I don't care how much they speak to you, I'm not going to allow nobody else to get my glory. You need to fully surrender to me. And let me get you on this threshing floor, and let me come in and do it. Finish the work on the inside of you. So,
Wow.
That's some of it.
Yeah.
That's some of it. And somebody else's story may be different. God may use that born again believer or that one therapist that has it's because it's really not them. It's
all
in them.
God's tools.
Exactly.
Yes.
But my story is different, because the office I have to walk in and where I gotta go, God don't want no one else to get the glory and say, like, yeah, I was the therapist that helped her break that generation thing. I did. Because people always want to say what? I, but not God. So God said, I'm allowing this to happen for a reason. Do you know that there are herbs? When I was getting sick, God said, I don't want the herbs. You can take the herbs. They help you. But God said, I'm not going to allow the herbs to make you whole. I want to do it.
So you know what
I don't want the herbs. Even though I've created the herbs, I don't want you to be like, yeah, you know, I cook these herbs. And everybody, God will use different tools according to what that person is at and their faith.
Yeah.
Their faith, because everybody may not have the faith for the Holy Spirit to come in their apartment and give them an encounter and heal them. So it's according to where your faith is at and according to what your beliefs, because the Bible says that miracle signs and wonders only follow those who what? Believe. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, we got a couple of callers. I'll take a call and then take some more comments here.
Okay.
And thank you all for responding. And, of course, Zelda says, Grand Rising, beautiful queens. Thank you for being so transparent, as it helps us all in the healing process.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Zelda. It does our wonderful Monday morning mindfulness show every Monday. And let me open the mic for 773-450 Grand Rising. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments for our, or questions for our guest, Jessica. Go right ahead.
Hallelujah, greetings, Grand Rising, good morning to all. You know, I was just thinking, you know, just from a male perspective, you know, I appreciate you because, for one thing, whatever happened, and when it comes to some type of sexual assault, it wasn't your fault. It ain't got nothing to do with what you wearing or none of that. That guy who's got that mentality is just thinking he's going to just rape up on anybody. He has no consideration at all. That's part of what's wrong when society creates this sex and violence type of mentality, like they combine together some type of way. And I don't see how that matches up. But the reality of it is, I'm just glad you broke away from that and you've gotten, you know, delivered, and that you're helping so many other people. You know, when you mention somebody like Lil Durk, you know, they're being famous based on what they're doing, so you would keep doing whatever's giving you success until they can actually make a change and understand what they're really putting out and the power they have with the music and the things, the messages they're putting out. It's hard for them to make that change. They'd have to change themselves. But it's a blessing that you would even consider approaching them, because you know what? They may listen to you. Just like you can do to their music, they may stop for a second and listen. And I'm just grateful because, you know, at the end of the day, all of us are connected. And so it's like you were saying, people think being a Christian means, oh, I'm saved and you're a sinner. That's just not true. If anything, you're a former sinner. You should have more mercy for people that aren't.
Amen.
And you, for you, you ought to be able to get down on the ground with anybody and reach them. Because after all, if you just let people go by, you riding by and you're tinted windows and ignoring everything, you're not being no solution to nobody. The people that got problems, you're the one that got grace and favor. You had parents that was decent. You had some education. Go help somebody that needs something. They're laughing. If you want, give it up. What good is it going to do you to have all this knowledge and information and wisdom and keep it to yourself? Get empowered. Give it up. Hand it over to other people and watch how you grow and watch them grow. Because we too interconnected along with society. But we're working on a new paradigm so there will be no war. And we're part of that. We're talking about a solution and helping other people out of the problems that they don't even know they have. But it's up to us to do it, because when you're blind, how do you know? You think you're doing just fine. Your money's coming in and you set. No. Money's coming in to keep you distracted. You have to realize money is not even an issue and shift your mind around to the true riches of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that will make you adjust your thinking. You can watch it for down the dollar.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much, Obadiah, for what you said about women who are dressed. They didn't cause the rape, because I think women got to understand.
You shouldn't drink like
somebody's
that.
Somebody's a rapist inside of them. It's
that's
got nothing to do with what you're wearing or none of that. That's inside the person. They wanted to violate somebody.
That's true.
Because
they mind is messed up. But one thing I will tell you this, though. What God's about to do with me is I want to cover up. And then sometimes you can't be cover up and people still have it, but I want to, God had to show me as his daughter how to respect myself.
Because
nobody taught me how to respect myself. And I do notice that as me having the light of God and stuff like that, like when I cover up, it's certain people that ain't going to approach me. They know not to approach me, right? They know not to be drawn towards me because I cover up, right? And that's just me speaking that, but everything he said was so true. What's in you, what's the evil that's in you is already in you. And some of them, they'll be attracted to somebody that's fully covered up and still want to think like, well, I want to rape her. Because they're perverted. They're messed up on the inside.
It's
I totally agree. And he said something that was, everything he said was so amazing, was
thank
so beautiful. But he said, the real wealth is the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Absolutely, we got to take another break, and then we'll take another caller and a couple more. And thank you, Obadiah. We always appreciate
thank you,
your wisdom. Yes, let me take a break, and we'll be right back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. I've got a bunch of comments we'll share when we come back from the break, so stay with us.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions. And call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant. Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And, of course, our regular Tuesday host, Jody, with Self-Cell Care. She'll be with us. She'll be out for 3 weeks handling some personal matters. She'll be back, so tune on in. And in the meantime, we have a three-part series. We're bringing you spiritual healing from emotional trauma. And this is part one, and we want you to listen in and call in and absorb the wisdom from our young sister, Jessica Ingram. Look out for her upcoming book, I'm Not Crazy, I'm Called. And she is just so real. And you'll be seeing her more on YouTube as she comes with us with a very important ministry, and that's touching the hearts, minds, and souls of the broken. Yes. So we've got some comments here we want to share. And let's see. All right, we're going to leave off here. Oh, and Beata says, love that. Lead with your crown, not your body. She said, teach, queen.
Yep.
All right. Now.
A man of God, my mentor.
Yes, another jewel. You can't be the neighborhood hero because you're the neighborhood issue. Yes. Teach poet. Yes.
She said, teach poet. I'm definitely a poet.
Yes.
So I actually graduated from Columbia with my degree in creative writing. So
all
yes,
right.
I am a poet.
Yes. Oh, and we've got to leave some time because I want to do that poem.
Okay.
So we're going to make sure we leave some time for that. And Mom Joy says, where are the models for our downline youth? Good question. Yes, it is so important for those of us who are seasoned to consider the responsibility of those that come after us to be the light on this path.
Yes.
And she said, I did not realize that need for the older when I was young because of the presence of so much fear.
Yes.
Now I'm energized by the wisdom and courage of this young lady calling a seasoned believer to know we came from you and be better models. It's not too late.
Yes, Let's get it together.
Yes. Thank you, Mama Joy. And she says, be born again. Yes.
Yes.
Mama Joy says, be born again in your faith and office of your calling. Powerful.
Yeah.
Yes, so you got a whole lot of amens up here. And Zelda says, teach, young sister. Love your fire. You are touching millions who are watching. God bless your ministry.
Amen,
right,
amen, amen. God is good.
And Deborah says, God, blessings to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for using this vessel and sharing Jessica's message and lesson. Her story
amen.
Will heal
Lord
many.
God.
Love, yes. And Zelda says she needs to be a host on the Female Solution. Well, you know God did say that to me. I'm just trying to figure, okay, how many more days we got in the week? Because I knew that was the message I got. So that's why she's here. And, oh, yeah, she says, fellow Columbia alum. You go, girl.
Hey, fellow Columbia alumni.
Yes. So, yes, we are definitely blessed with your presence today because, well, you know, God told me, put her on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I knew that this is what was supposed to happen.
It was all divine. How I met you and the other political neighborhood, like the community people and the other pastor as well that's deep out here in these trenches helping people. I'm like, listen, divine connection.
Absolutely.
Definitely all God.
Absolutely, yes. So I'm going to bring another caller, and then I'll give you a minute to grab that poem because I think –
I'm going to grab my laptop because this poem is long and I have not remembered the entire thing just yet. So I'll read off my laptop. I got to find my laptop.
All right. Well, in the meantime, let me grab this caller here. And anybody else on our switchboard, if you got a comment to make, just press 1. We want to hear what you have to say. 312-671, Grand Rising. Thanks for joining us. And give us your question for our guest, Jessica. Dear sister, go right ahead.
We are not alone. We don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful, and I know this sister is beautiful because I can feel, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt. This is Minister Robert Floyd Pump in Chicago. She got the Holy Spirit in her and the Holy Ghost. And I can tell that if the left one don't get you, the right one will. And we're going to keep it real. She is definitely a personality that the world needs to know about because she is about spiritual healing. And that is a way of life that no one can measure how much, she can help other people through her spiritual healing ministry. And I wanted to also mention, Sister Naima, about the word healing equals to 23, which also means abundance of blessings. So, you know, her blessings is unstoppable, unlimited, and I'm just glad to welcome her to the Female Solution. And I want to know the name of her book and also, to create a collaboration through education that we can share knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and truth, and we can also share the opportunity of pumping up Chicago, America, and the world in peace, love, unity, marketing, and peace. So what's the name of her book, and where we can get together to establish the collaboration
we appreciate that question. So you're going to end up with some book order today before the book can go to press.
Yeah, so the name of the book is called I'm Not Crazy, I'm Called, and you can follow me if you're on Instagram and Facebook, and then you'll be able to keep up with when it's getting ready to come out or when it'll be on pre-order, because it was on pre-order, but God shut everything down and was like, listen, I got to work through some more stuff through you. You know, because my book is already ready, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, how many of you know if the Lord be like, okay, I need to finish some stuff, so I'm prolonging it right now because I need to deal with your character more. God is even dealing with my character even more now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just handed back over to the editor again, and so some refinement and different things are happening. And grace of God, my book will be out before this end of this year. So you can follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on Facebook.
So now,
Add me on Facebook and follow me on Instagram.
So, how they find you on Instagram and Facebook? Just type in Jessica Ingram.
Just So Real.
Oh, Just So Real. That's JessSoReal.
So on my Instagram, my name is Just So Real. My Facebook is Jessica Leah Leah Ingram. You can add me on there, and I add you. And then, you know, I've learned to walk in silence because when I was mentioning it before and was doing. I went through so many spiritual attacks, you know, so God, I've been walking in silence with, because it's ready, I'm just going to pop up with the flyer and everything, you know, because I've noticed you do have to walk in silence when you're working on something huge because it'll be a lot of spiritual attacks. I had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah.
So I haven't been posting no flyers or anything just yet. At the right time, the Lord will tell me, okay, now you can post a flyer because the editing is fully done. Everything is fully put together, and it's ready to be pre-ordered, and it's ready to come out. So, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
All right. So look out for it. Yeah.
But it should be out before this end of this year. Like, so it'll be out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. It's coming. And well, our Monday morning host, Zelda, says, would love to have her co-host the show on Monday Morning Mindfulness. We need her to reach the so-called unreachable. Yes.
Yes, I was the unreachable. I was unteachable, too.
We're going to make that happen. Absolutely. Yes. So, well, now we want you all to hear these words.
Hold on. Let me get myself.
Yes. And it speaks so much to what so many have not been able to say out loud that they have experienced, and the pain that so many of our young sisters and unfortunately young brothers have gone through, the reason why they're acting out. And we need to know that they're expressing pain. So rather than us being judgmental and condemning, we can look at ourselves and say, what did I not do? The reason why they suffered so much. What did I not say? The reason why they're acting out so much. We have to take responsibility for the generation coming after us. And if we didn't do our job properly, we're going to see it in the reflection of the behavior. So the finger is always pointing back at us. And we got to speak life into those who have gone through some hell and had a death of the spirit. We have to speak life in them, not condemnation, not judgment, but life and love. That's what heals. That's what opens their spirit and their soul to be able to hear the voice of God and not be so full of anger and rage that they can't even listen. So it's up to us
we have a job to do. Because it's our young people that's ushering in this new world. And they need that spiritual healing in order to do it. So we want you to hear these words. And I believe the title of it is No More Silence.
No More Secrets.
No More Secrets.
Pull it up on my laptop. Give me a few minutes.
Yes.
Oh, give me a second.
No More Secrets. And just think of how many of us in our families. And there's a family secret in every family. There's the molester, there's the abuser, there's the alcoholic, there's the drug addict, there's the person who has harmed people, and nobody will speak about it. And often we know that this person has damaged the children, and then when the children act out, when they start getting into drugs and alcohol and gang life, we blame them and we punish them and we throw them in jail, knowing that the pain came from somebody else. So we demand them to say nothing, keep it a secret, keep it inside, suffer the pain in silence, and then we get mad at them when they can't hold it in and act like it didn't happen, and we see them expressing some self-destructive behavior. But it's because we wouldn't allow them to speak. Well, now you're going to hear the words of Jessica Ingram, just so real, telling us all about No More Secrets.
No More Secrets, that's the name of this poem. What's been unknowingly plaguing my thoughts for years, hidden in the darkness of my mind, driving my inner child. I was 4 years old when he did it. I was innocent, but they treated me like I was guilty. They kept it a secret by not telling me of how he sucked the soul from my innocence. No More Secrets. I was treated as if I was guilty as a child. I couldn't remember the recollection until I became a profession. I started opening up my mouth and professing. No More Secrets. As puberty shaped me from a child into a teen, I had grown men coming at me like I was lean. But then going back and lying on me as if I was the adult and they were the child. I was accused of something I never did until I did. No More Secrets. I guess the scent of my abuse was left on me because I couldn't even do nothing without walking down the street. I was innocent from the day of birth, but the secrets treated me like I was a guilty adult. Instead of protecting me, they ran around town putting their mouth on me, but when it was their overgrown men trying to steal my innocence, I guess the scent of my abuse was left on me because I couldn't even do nothing without that same secret trying to taint me. No More Secrets. I became promiscuous. The secret became more manipulative, paying me to have sex with them knowing that I wouldn't even did it. I was children. If they wouldn't have swindled me with a couple of digits, no more secrets. That same secret that touched me at the age of 4 followed me, creeping through other stores, crawling through my veins up into my adult rush. And you wonder why women are so loose. Why don't you try asking their abusers? No More Secrets. They blame me, but not the adults. Those secrets couldn't wait until I turned 18, and that's when more of the sexual encounters came at me like I was a piece of meat. I was already perverted. You see, it was certain. Well, I guess the scent of my abuse was left on me because I couldn't even do nothing without that same secret trying to snatch me. No More Secrets. The secrets were possessed by looking at my young body, my shape. I couldn't tell them about that. And you wonder why I was so angry. One reason was because I couldn't understand why I couldn't act like a lady. They told me to be quiet. The secrets, they said that I was crazy, that I was lying. But no more secrets. No, secrets. What y'all did to me is what almost drove me into complete insanity, because the main secret touched me at the age of 4, broke the covenant with his son, and allowed other secrets to become open doors until I became old enough to do it on my own. But now, no more secrets. But now, I'm grown, I'm healing, and I always fight to shine a light like Jesus Christ on the horrible acts of a child's soul being sacrificed. So now, you know why most women are so loose. Please understand clearly that we've been abused. No more secrets.
Yes. Well, that was powerful. That was powerful. We got a caller on the line. I'm going to take a call. Area code 773-885, Grand Rising. Thanks for joining us today. And give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments. Looks like this is Mama Joy, I believe.
Yes.
Grand Rising.
This is a Grand Rising. So many ways, right? Mama Joy from Chicago. Yes, this is indeed a delight. Jessica, you have given me the sign from God that there is hope. And that we are not in the wilderness because of your presentation and coming from that voice of the unreachable, unteachable, and you're expressing your heart. I just can say, hey, welcome, my sister. Because I was you at one time, hallelujah, way back a little way. But I did not have that wisdom available to me as you were able to display. Because our older people, they all have people. I came in a time where my community, there were people who could not write, could not even sign their name. They would bring their children or grandchildren to sign as I was working in my grandmama's store. So the wisdom, the love was there, but the wisdom was not there, and the fear was very, very strong down south where I was. So I had no one to talk to. So I'm grateful for the Female Solution, grateful for your courage and the fact that you have a platform for your voice to be heard, a place that we as adults, not understanding fully in our growth what our responsibility was to those who come behind, because I was one of those. I would tell the other people, no, y'all don't know it like I know it. We're going to take this down. And I did not realize that I had a responsibility to live, not just for the moment, but those behind. And now as a mother and a grandmother, I can embrace you, hold you, and say, dear heart, I am so glad that there's heaven and essence of God that's finally alive. And you are looking into your power, and you're taking ownership of your divine crown. And that is where the Christ consciousness is. And that is my hope of glory, right here, for you to be one of the men that will be leading us into this new world. I thank God for you this morning. Naima, thank you so very much. God bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, God,
Joy,
thank
hallelujah.
You.
Amen. Hallelujah.
thank
you so much, Mama Joy.
Mama Joy, yes.
That's a beautiful name, Mama Joy. Listen. Bear more fruit, the joy, peace, long-suffering. Listen, I need the fruits of the Spirit. I need more of them.
Absolutely.
That's definitely one of them.
Yes, and Zelda says, wow, powerful. Keep up the good work, little sister. Yes.
Thank you.
And Viola sent her, 100, sent her applause. yes, this has been quite powerful. And, you know, I feel that a lot of women are just getting healed by your words, because like Mama Joy was saying, you know, the era that so many came up in, we weren't allowed to speak. We were purposely silenced and shamed into silence and couldn't speak of the pain that we were in, and couldn't, you know, and the mothers who raised us, they didn't have the wisdom to know how to talk about it or to allow us to talk about it. They didn't. They just didn't have the wisdom. And their mothers before them didn't have the wisdom. They, you know, you talk about people just on survival mode and used to being abused. And some of them, like you say, become abusers. And then when you don't have good examples, then how do you learn what you should be? You learn from the wrong examples. And that's what so many are trying to heal from, the realization that they didn't know and they made mistakes because they didn't know.
So, you know, a lot of people, I want to say this last thing before we're done. A lot of people like to use the excuse of this, like, well, everybody is not like that. I was abused and I didn't turn out like that. Well, something, you have done something in your life that was wrong. And you have hurt somebody. Everybody has hurt somebody from their pain, even if they didn't start the pain. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
That's why I have to get to my point in my life, like, you know, when God starts to deal with me, God starts to, okay, he arrogant, but look at you. You got anger.
Mm.
Right? So a lot of people may not turn out to be a certain way, but the statistics is most people do become the abuser that have been abused. That's just reality. And I always tell people this, God gave me this this quote that trauma trips and turns people to become different.
Yeah.
Right? So like I said, you can put three women in the same room that have been through the same exact thing, and each three is going to be different. One of them may become a prostitute and drug addict. One of them may not let none of that hold them back, and they may launch them to become the first black president. I'm using that as an example. Well, they may become the first black president of a hospital. They may go and build a hospital with all the trauma that they've been through for trauma patients. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the other ones may end up dead. May end up getting in the street life and end up becoming a murderer. And may go around killing, being a serial killer and killing every man that rapes people. So, so what I'm saying is, it's called psychology.
Yeah.
Like the Lord led me to study that, and then there was a time the Lord said, okay, that's enough studying because now you're becoming, you're letting this take the place of me.
Mm.
So there's that, you know what I'm saying? You're letting this take the place of me. You get what I'm saying? So find balance, and I need you to come to me because you're studying all this stuff, and you're not coming to me.
Yeah.
Right? So what I'm saying is a lot of people, they're, to me, and I'm praying for them too because I want to see them change, but people who speak like that, they are the issue.
Yeah.
You the issue. You steady want to deal with things on a surface level. You the issue if you don't want to keep admitting that trauma trips and turns people to become different. Somebody may go through a whole bunch of trauma inside of the church, and they may just be like, they don't walk away from church because they know God, but they just be like, listen, we all need God, and everybody make their choice to stay evil, and the reality is we need to distinguish who's the wheat and who's the tares, because the Bible clearly tells you that the tares will be among us, and they ain't going to leave until this world comes to an end, until Jesus comes back, and he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. So know who you are. Know those who live among you. Know those who are religious Pharisees and the ones who are the real kingdom citizens.
Mm.
You got to know, because they are among us. The false prophets and the false teachers, they're going to stay among us. You got to know who they are, because the Bible clearly tells you that's who they would be. So that's the only thing I wanted to say.
Well, all right.
The last thing.
That's a powerful last word, so we appreciate all that you are, and we will not hear the last of Jessica. As you heard, all our hosts say, oh, yes, you got to come on my show, yes. So we will definitely have this platform for your words, and I foresee your ministry, of course, global, worldwide.
Thank you so much.
Touching hearts. Because this is what God raised you up for. This is the purpose for which you were born. And to end the generational curse in your own family line. And so many of us, that's what we're here to do. We're here to end that curse. We're here to end that cycle of pain. And that's why we may have gone through some
things.
It's the
heart. It's the heart issue.
It's the heart.
It ain't a color. It really ain't a color.
It ain't about
issue.
The color.
It's a heart issue. Sin issue, and people need to realize that.
We got to cleanse the heart, the soul, and aim.
Everybody needs cleansing.
We got to go to the source of love, the source of healing.
Yep.
That's where our healing comes from. So thank you, Jessica. We appreciate you. She's just so real.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, and we will see you next time.
Join
see
you next
tomorrow.
Time.
I'll be right here with my co-host, Kareem Hamid. Join us right back here on the Female Solution Global Radio.
Please come to to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.